people. Ashley here. Thanks for joining us again for our third segment in the political series
that we're doing. Jay White's here too. John, also known as John.
Okay, John. I was going to introduce you.
I just jumped the gun every time.
You do. I guess you're just excited.
I am excited.
He's really getting into politics now.
Dude, I learned so much. I'm ready to vote today.
Yes. Well, we have another guest here with us. I will let John introduce him. He's off-site.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he couldn't be here at the round table with us, but...
So you might hear a little feedback or a little noise in the background, but it's okay.
But it's fine.
We don't figure it out.
Yeah, we're just happy to have him here with us.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome our second guest to the table. His name is Hunter.
Hello.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for
being
here, Hunter.
We're doing good, man. We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day.
Yes.
To come to the table with us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, look at us social distancing. We're doing it over the phone.
Hey, there you go. I like that.
See, look at this man. Already knows the right things to say.
Right?
Derek came to the studio. Right. Like, where are we at? So. but Hunter, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And you know, we're gonna get right into this. Ashley, if you will, let's just start the conversation. We're just friends talking, just wanting to
start the conversation, let people know that you can have these political conversations with your friends and, you know, still remain friends.
Exactly. I hope so.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. By the end of this.
We'll see by the end of this.
Right?
Oh, gosh.
But, yeah, for the past two episodes that we did, the first one was me and John just kind of talking about our political stand, how we consider ourselves more independent. Derek, we spoke with, was more of our Democrat representative, but he educated us about being more, I guess, libertarian. So that was really interesting and educating. But, Hunter, you are our Republican friend here, and... What we had asked ourselves, like what I asked John and what we asked Derek, was pretty much, why are you Republican?
I guess I would say I was raised in a conservative household.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I think I pull a lot of that from how I was raised, just kind of like, you know, just the basic principles of I guess conservative values and stuff like that, that I just have never, it was never forced upon me. My parents never, you know, never told me like, look, we're going to disown you if you don't vote like us or anything.
Oh, that's good.
I never felt forced into this, I guess, mindset. Mm-hmm. But it was something that I was around constantly. I mean, I'm a military child. I was brought up around that environment. And, I mean, I know there are people in the military that are not, you know, staunch conservative Republicans. I know that the spectrum, especially nowadays, is broadening politically in the military. But I mean, I come from a very conservative family. So I think that is where I grew up watching Fox News and, you know, just hearing those kinds of attitudes and mindsets and view, you know, worldviews, it just kind of stuck with me and I've maintained it.
So you're telling me you grew up watching Fox News for fun?
Yes.
Wow. That explains a lot.
I watched the news for fun when I was a teenager even. I mean, like I was, you know, obviously I watched all the things that, you know, kids watch still, but you know,
you had to watch the news and have a cup of coffee.
But then, you know, when my favorite news shows was over, it was, you know, back to SpongeBob and stuff like that. But
that's insane.
but I mean, I was an politically active teenager, almost exclusively. I mean, that was all I wanted to do before I went to college and stuff like that. It was always something that interested me, was politics, and not necessarily just conservative, you know, things, but just politics in general and how things worked. I mean, you know, when I was in high school, and like House of Cards and stuff like that, like shows like that were things that I wanted to watch, politically, political things are what I wanted to watch. And so I guess that's always just been something I was interested in.
That's so interesting.
So he and I are very opposite. Hunter, I was so not into politics growing up. I couldn't tell you who was president, you know. I was so not into it. It just was not my cup of tea. But I really like that you are, because I feel like, especially nowadays, it's just, I feel like it's important to be active when it comes to that kind of stuff. So I find that very fascinating.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, I actually am kind of, as I'm getting older, or I guess maybe I think as the political landscape is changing, I've become almost less interested in politics.
Really?
Because I can't, to me, like the debates, for instance, the debates are like watching the Kardashians. It's reality television, you know?
Just saying that.
It's hard to keep up.
That's the way it feels to me, and it's so cringy, I can't watch it on both sides. Donald Trump is a cringy person. He is. I'll give you that. But I just, the whole premise of debates and watching these grown men just, you know, not even talk about anything substantial it's not worth my time. And it's really unfortunate, because I think there's a growing number of people that are feeling that way, that it's not even worth watching. It's not worth being involved in, because we can't have a conversation. We can't do what we're doing right now.
Oh man, that gave me chills when you said that.
Yeah,
dude.
Well, you know, that brings up a good point, because I remember watching, I told myself I was going to watch the debates. I was really going to watch them this year, because I haven't ever really watched them before. And I couldn't even get through the first debate, because it was like, it was almost like these two kids just like kind of like bickering at each other. And I'm like, I was like, this is our president and our potential president. You know, they can't even get along together. But here we are, you know, four friends that are having a peaceful conversation, you know?
Yeah.
It's discouraging. So, yeah, that brings up a good point.
I know. I mean, you know, I've known Derek for a long time, and I know he's, you know, he's a vocal, you know, left-leaning person. And that's, you know, we're still friends. I mean, I don't know if we've actually ever gotten in a full on political debate, but I've been around when political debates were going on, and, you know, I can still be around Derek and like hang out with him, and we don't have to, it doesn't have to be this like, oh, well, now we hate each other because now we know that I like Trump and that he likes, you know, Biden or whoever he, you know, wants to support. I don't know. It's a scary time for me. And it just makes me nervous about, before the call, I was kind of nervous, because I was like, oh my God, what if they ask me about some particular part in the debate? I didn't watch it.
I didn't either, Hunter, so you're good.
I heard the second one was better, that it wasn't such a childish, fight. But still, I've almost written them off, because I don't think they're productive anymore.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
That's a good point.
I don't think, I like the institution as a conservative. I like the, we're doing it because we've always done it. We're doing it because it's tradition to do a presidential debate. But I think the world, or the country, as a country, we like stuff like the Kardashians. We like people like Trump, whether you like Trump or not. We like people like Trump who are just like brazen and boisterous and make a fool of themselves for our entertainment. And I don't think that has any place in our political structure.
Yeah, like I said, man, growing up, I used to see Trump on TV, and you know, when he was firing people on that one television show. And he was on rap videos and stuff. He was just a normal dude. Like, everybody talked about Trump. I was just like, oh, this dude seems cool. He's firing people. I want to fire people one day. And I do. But so, I mean, I've never had a problem with him per se as a person. But, I mean, I feel like some people just, you know, he's going to say some of the stuff he says, obviously. I'm just like, oh, maybe you should have held back on that one a little bit. But
yeah, he has no filter.
Exactly. He has no filter at all.
So, yeah, I feel like if he could have played it differently, it would have been different. Because I'm not against people that were actors or actresses or anybody being a president one day. I mean, look at Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, he was governor.
I remember that.
You know, right. I was just like, yo, that's pretty badass. Arnold, you want to be the governor? I'm the governor. You know, I was like, that's pretty cool. So I was like, okay, let's see what Trump's gonna do. But then when he started talking, I was like, ugh. Well, maybe.
Yeah,
he's not gonna be the governor I thought for the president.
I have to say, that's one thing about Obama I will always remember. He was very eloquent when he came to his speeches, which is very opposite of Trump.
Right. I'd love to get them both in the debate.
Yes.
Maybe like a celebrity death match. I don't know,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I don't know, though, because I think while he was in, I mean, now he's not the president. He doesn't have the stress of having to be presidential.
Uh-huh.
But he was out there slinging punches. The other day, I heard a little excerpt of Obama speaking I think it was like the first Biden rally he had gone to. And he kind of bumbled through it. I was surprised. Like,
really?
You know, I think Obama will always be remembered as you know, one of the best speaking presidents, you know, we've probably ever had. I mean, I think that was a really strong, that was a strong aspect of his presidency, was when he was talking, people listened.
Yeah.
Whether you agreed with him or not.
Yeah.
You know, he was a brilliant speech deliverer.
Yeah.
And I wish, as a conservative and as somebody who does support President Trump, I do wish, I wish he would take a speech lesson and learn how to curb some of his natural instinct to just sort of be a goofball.
Yeah.
And just speak whatever pops into his head, he's going to say it, which I do unfortunately think is what helped him get elected, because
true.
You know, you hear people say, hey, I like President Trump because he says what's on his mind. And to a certain degree, I agree with that. You know, I think if somebody's flat out lying, you should call him out online. But I don't like the name calling and all that stuff and having nicknames for everybody. I think that plays to a certain portion of his base.
Yeah.
But play to me. And it makes it very difficult sometimes for me to like want to watch and support him, because I just can't handle the reality television aspect of his personality, which is something I knew when I voted for him the first time. So, you know, I guess I can't really complain about it too much, because I knew that.
You knew exactly what you're getting into.
Right. I mean, like, I knew exactly who I was voting for.
Yeah.
As far as the kind of person he is in public and, you know, stuff like that. Like the way he acts and the way he talks and stuff like that. I knew that.
Okay.
But.
So you voting for him, obviously we're talking about the Republican side of the party. So if you have a Republican that you don't necessarily agree with, but you are Republican, do you just go with them because you are Republican and there's no other way to go?
No, I do not. I think my vote matters. I think that, you know, maybe that's just because I know I studied it in college. I know that, you know, voting does matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I will vote for whoever I really think deserves my vote. I have voted against people.
Okay.
You know, in the past, I voted against Obama. I was not necessarily a McCain supporter. I don't think he would have been.
Yeah.
I mean, he was not a powerful candidate. Neither was Mitt Romney.
Okay.
But I did not agree with Obama's core platform, so I voted for McCain and Mitt Romney against Obama. So I have used my vote. I guess just voting for Republican to vote for Republican. But I would have no Derek's going to eat me alive for this one, but I don't remember her name. Her name is Joe. I know that the Libertarian running for president.
Okay.
You know, I've been more and more interested in the Libertarian Party recently. I know, especially with people our age, you know, millennials and stuff like that, that party platform has become more popular. And I do think that with the two parties we have now spreading farther apart, I think that will start gaining more traction.
Mm.
I mean, I have considered voting Libertarian, because I'm not a radical, I don't think anybody really considers themselves radical, but you know, I don't have radical conservative views. Some things I guess I do, but not overall, where I would just vote for a Republican because he's got an R next to their name, you know? I think I'm more open-minded than just voting along party lines for the sake of it.
That's good to know, man.
That's interesting.
Because I know a lot of people, I'm not going to call them out, but they don't care who the president is. If they're Republican or Democrat, that's just how they're voting. Because that's how they were raised. They're just like, oh, this is what we're doing. And I know some people voted for Trump because they said they thought it would be funny if he became president. And so a lot of the, you know, it's a lot of weird things you hear. Don't know where I'm going with this, but
well, I think that's an interesting point, I think, because I was about to say, you know, I think the open-mindedness is a generational thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that as far as like not, you know, I think our generation is the generation that will break the two-party system. Because I don't think we will stand for being one side or the other. I think we were raised in a different world where than our parents and our grandparents, where, you know, I mean, I'm a fiscal and social conservative, but I would never in a million years treat a gay person any differently than I would treat anybody else. You know, I would never look down on somebody. I would never, you know, if it was on the ballot in front of me, like it was in California, is to vote yes or no on gay marriage, I would never, ever vote no.
Wow.
So, you know, and it's not, unfortunately, that isn't on the ballot in, you know, in front of your face. I think, it is sort of it's difficult for me to continue voting Republican sometimes because you don't get to have everything, you know, and my favorite candidate I may agree with him on 4 out of the 5 issues that he's got, but he doesn't believe in gay marriage or whatever. So I vote for him because I'm getting, you know, I'm getting 4 of the 5 things that I agree with.
Sounds like a deal to me.
Right. You know, and that's really unfortunate for somebody in my position who, you know, I think it's a fundamental right of mine to bear firearms. I think it's a fundamental right for me to live in a country that is conservative with its money and doesn't throw it around and doesn't, you know, just give money away to people for nothing.
Yeah.
But I also think you should be able to get married if you want to. So it's a tough spot for me sometimes as a conservative. And I know that there are liberal people that think the same way, that, you know, liberals that think we should have access to firearms because it's in our constitution, but they can't vote Republican because Republicans don't support gay marriage as a, generally speaking, you know, it's just, it's a tough spot. And so generationally, I think we will find another way to start voting for candidates like libertarians that have that, why is the government getting in the way in the first place mentality?
I think you make a good point with all that, Hunter, about the generational thing. I especially see it, like, we're older than you, but I feel like starting with the early millennials, like us here at the table onward, and even some into a little bit of the generation before us, the end of that generation, I feel like there's a lot of us that feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to choose sides because we, you know, we want that 5 out of 5, you know.
Right.
And I think that's where the frustration comes from for a lot of the younger people too, and like the people younger than you, Hunter, and than us. And so, yeah, I really like, he brought up a really good point there.
You know what I think? I think if we don't watch out, we're going to have a TikTok person as our next president. I'm just saying,
exactly.
The way these kids move around and they shucking and jiving, I'm not saying that I want that, but there's a strong platform right there. It's going to be a whole TikTok party, and Reggie from Compton going to somehow become president because of TikTok, and we're going to be in some trouble. So,
and then we're in trouble because somebody thought it would be funny to vote for the
that entire generation that's on TikTok now will soon be voting, and it's like, yo, we need to put, I don't even know any TikTok celebrity people, or I guess you can call them, well, whoever the big person on TikTok needs to be president. I mean, it could happen.
That's why us elder folks, we have to, you know.
Watch yourself, girl. Watch yourself.
We have to show the way for these younger folks, but.
I guess so, man.
I guess that's our job. I just think
the dichotomy of the young generation is like we're open-minded, but we also, like Jay said, you know, people talking about, oh, they voted for Donald Trump because they thought it would be funny. That's really scary to me.
That is really scary.
Yeah.
That's scary to me because, like, you think that it's a joke.
Mm, yeah.
You know, and it's not. I mean, you know, I know Donald Trump scares a lot of people, and I think a lot of that is unfounded personally, but, you know, it's not a joke. I mean, you know, that scares me.
Yeah.
To know that there are people out there that are like, you know, I'm going to vote for Kanye West because it's funny.
Oh my gosh.
See what happens, you know?
Like, Kanye West is crazy and he probably agrees with me on more things that I'm comfortable with. You know, as a conservative, Jesus. But I just, you know, that makes me nervous that people would think it's funny to vote for somebody solely based on let's see what happens.
Yeah, this is exactly. Like watching the world burn, you know? It's right. Like, yo, right. Let's just light this fire and see where it goes.
Right.
Right.
It's like, we got to...
yeah. Well, like I said, I ain't going to call nobody out, but if you listen to this, you know who you are. I ain't going to call nobody out, but you know. We're getting to that point in the show where we're wrapping up. Ashley, do you have any final thoughts, or do you want to say ask any other questions before we get out of here?
Well, I said that I had, since we asked Derek earlier about the Trump question, we were going to ask Hunter, but I feel like that'll be a little bit longer of a question, so maybe we can save that for the next segment. But Hunter, we do have another question for you when we get you on here with Derek here in a few minutes.
Okay.
But yes, so everyone who is listening, thank you for listening. We have one more segment that will bring Derek and Hunter together. So keep an eye out and an eye out for our next episode.
Stay tuned. And Hunter, thank you for joining us for this segment, man. And we'll definitely be talking soon.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Remember, like, comment, subscribe, follow us. We out.